Keep this frequency clear.
Are you ready?
Smack my bitch.
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio. Another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of San Beezy, San Bruno, California. That's right, I said to San Beezy. Smack my picks up. UFC 211, of course, featuring the one and only Marco from Waco and the lovely Pam. Our boy Protos, Proteus, will not be joining us tonight. He has dad duties tonight. So good luck with him and the two young boys. How about that? Let's meet the host, guys, because, and of course, is my boy Josh. As I always like to tell my boy Josh, there will not be Careless Whisper tonight, kids. There will certainly not be Careless Whisper tonight. That's for darn sure. All right, guys, let's meet the host, fighting out of the blue corner, the lady who always forgets to press mute as she's talking to her kids, parrots, dogs, cats, the husband who hope is doing well, the lovely Pam.
Hey, everybody, what's going on?
The lovely Pam, how's the hubby doing?
He's doing better. He's over here working on guns on my dining table.
Oh, well, just remember, tell him that we said,
what's that?
What's that?
All right. What did you say? Let's meet the one and only, the star of the show, the man who says there will certainly not be Careless Whisper tonight. Or was it Pammy that said it? The one and only Marco from Waco.
Marco from Waco, or konnichiwa, bitches. We are back. We are back to pick fight.
What a konnichiwa. All right. Let's, hold on. Proteus just called in.
What's up?
What's up? Boss is lost.
Poor guy. Vasi's lost. How about that? My brother, my brother, Vasi's lost. Proteus, of course, with dad duty tonight, guys. So he will not be joining us. Guys, we got a lot to cover in very, very little time. I do want to say, like always, I missed you guys. That's for damn sure. So let's hit the music, guys. Oops, wrong music. At least we didn't hit ESPN. That might mean that we're off the radio. If we hit the ESPN music, good Lord, all the layoffs. All right, let's go, guys. They hit the music, because as I was talking to the one and only Marco, gosh, there's a lot here, guys, a lot here. Where's the music? Where's the tail of the tape? What's that? Guys, we start off with a fight that I was telling Marcos I didn't think we'd see in quite some time. Eddie Alvarez, guys, and Dustin Poirier. In the prelims? That's right, I said it, guys. Is that incredible? Dustin, the Diamond Poirier, 28 years young from Lafayette, Louisiana. And boy, he always brings a smile to my wife's face. Well, maybe I shouldn't even say that. Hello. The one and only Poirier, guys, 21-5. And I don't know why I tend to look at his losses more than I look at his wins. He will fight, Marco, the one and only Eddie Alvarez, the former champ, 33 years young, guys, 5'2", 155, and 5'2". He actually looks like he's 5'2". 5'10", I'm not sure I believe that. 5'10", in what world are we talking about? We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, would it be Eddie Alvarez or the Diamond?
Okay, brother. So, I requested this fight to be analyzed because I am excited for this fight. Let's not forget, this fight is on FX, not FS1. It's a little bit a bigger platform. A lot of people should be watching this fight. Eddie looked horrible on his fight against McGregor. He got embarrassed. It wasn't even pretty. On the biggest stage on the planet, you know, Madison Square Garden. Everything that could go wrong on that fight went wrong for Eddie. The Underground King, you know, for as good as he is, he got a real bad look. Poirier also lose to McGregor back on the day when McGregor was on his ascension to fight Jose Aldo. But even in that loss, he didn't look as bad. He didn't get clowned like Eddie did. Now, Eddie Alvarez has been in a lot of wars, man. Chandler, you know, Donald Cerrone, Merkin, when he first came into the UFC, he did look good against Rafael Dos Anjos. I cannot take that away from him. That's how he won the title. I do not know if this fight is the right fight for him right now. I mean, I'm going to get the respect that Eddie deserves. He is a freaking, he's always going to show up for a fight. Something is telling me that this is not the right time to take this fight, especially Dustin Poirier, a dangerous guy. Yeah, the Poirier does lose to the vets in the division, you know. Lost to McGregor, like I said before. Lost to the Korean Zombie. Lost to Michael Johnson. Every time he has to cut that one fight that is going to, like, take him over the home and put him over, like, the top five on the Elite, he checks the bet. But I think this Saturday is the night that Dustin Poirier gets it all, puts it all together. You know, he is out there training in ATT. Outstanding camp that, by the way, got 9 fighters on this freaking card, America Top Team. I think Poirier is going to do it. I think Poirier is going to decision Eddie. Eddie is going to give you a good effort. He's going to be, you know, on the fight. He's not going to be run over. But I think the younger, hungrier, the guy that is basically more momentum at this point, and the guy that probably wants the more, Dustin Poirier, is going to take this 29-28 decision.
Wow. All right. So Marco going with the diamond. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be Eddie Alvarez or Dustin the Diamond Poirier?
Well, first of all, this was, I was going on spotlight fights, and this was not my spotlight fight. So, as Proteus says, gun to my head, you know what? I think I'm going to go with Poirier on this, only because if you look at his wins, he has, I mean, he's really great wins over Max Holloway, Diego Brandao. His loss against McGregor was 3 years ago. You know, 3 years ago. He has wins over Yancy Medeiros, Joe Duffy. So, and I agree with Marco that Eddie Alvarez did not look good when he fought. I don't know if the whole weight thing has to do with it, but I don't know. I'm just going with Dustin on this. He just had a baby, so he's got this whole different mindset, and he's happy, so I'm going with him. But I'm going to go with... I'm going to do a second round TKO for me.
Wow. All right. So the beautiful Pam, and you're going with the diamond also, right?
Yep. Yepers.
Right. So Marco, of course, going with the diamond. Pam going with the diamond. Proteus choosing Dustin the Diamond. Guys, I think it's going to be a rout on this one. But the other way around, guys, I think Eddie Alvarez, believe it or not, the Dustin Diamond Poirier guys, for whatever reason, when it comes up to the big fights, I don't know what happens, guys. Something happens. Now, he's not going up against a big hitter. So, well, you know what? I'm riding the fence again, Marco. But you know what? I'm picking Alvarez. They have similar records. They both have similar chins now. I'm going Alvarez because whenever I think Alvarez is going to lose, he wins. So I'm going with Alvarez. So I'm the only guy going with Eddie Alvarez. And I think he's 5'10", guys, when he's wearing like those super Frankenstein shoes because there's no way he's 5'10". All right, guys, we move up. Where's the music? Gosh, this is driving me crazy, guys. We're never ready. Hit it. Guys, we move up, or one would say down in weight, to the flyweights we go, and remind me to hit mute on the beautiful Pam. To the flyweight we go, guys. Henry, the messenger, Cejudo, going up against Little Pettis. Sergio, the phenom Pettis. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be Little Pettis or will it be Little Cejudo?
Well, you have Henry Cejudo, who is ranked number 2, going against Sergio Pettis, ranked number 6. Baby Showtime. I call him Baby Showtime. And kind of, I'm very curious as to why this fight was even made, because although Sergio Pettis is greatly improved, I think he's going to be completely outclassed by Cejudo. I mean, you're talking an Olympic gold medalist, freestyle wrestling, a Pan American wrestling champ, bantamweight champ. He's a bronze gloves champ. He was fighting, you know, the best of the best. And, I mean, this is just going to be a quickie. We're doing quickies right now. I've got Henry Cejudo by decision. The end.
Wow. Wow. All right. So, Pam taking Cejudo. Now, let me give you this before Marco goes. Proteus taking Cejudo. We go to the one and only.
Right on.
Marco.
Okay. I got a lot of trepidation on my pick today because I was privy to some information sex to lose Thomas and Marisa Rivas on the Luke Thomas show. Everything on paper says Cejudo should win because he's a 4-1 favorite on the very nuts. Mm-hmm. Former gold medalist, Golden Globes. The guy has only lost to the two best flyers on the planet, Dimitris Johnson, that is the mini goat, and Joseph Benavidez. Everybody else has smirked. Now, historically speaking, Henry Cejudo has struggled with making weight. Guess what we found out today? Henry Cejudo is struggling with making weight. He's having a really, really, really rough cut. We're not even sure that he's going to be 100%. He even makes the weight coming fight time. On the other hand, Sergio Pettis looks fantastic. Now, I still, very, very trepidatiously, I'm going to take Henry Cejudo because that is a smart pick. But if you're a betting man, you might want to put some coin on Sergio Pettis because, like I said, Cejudo is starting with a weight cut. But, yeah, Sergio Pettis is still a prospect. He's a young guy, 24 years old. He's very dynamic on his feet. He got good jiu-jitsu. But like I said, Cejudo has only lost to the two very best men on the flyweight division in the planet. I think Cejudo is going to be able to, if he can rehydrate himself properly, be able to keep, Pettis at bay, use his boxing, close the distance, make it ugly, and win a unanimous decision. Like I said, Cejudo, because he's a smart pick, because he's an awesome favorite, but if you want to parlay and you want a good pay underdog, you might want to put some coin on Sergio Pettis.
Wow, we're not going to make this exciting because Pam going with Cejudo, Proteus going with Cejudo, Marco going with Cejudo, and guess what, guys? I'm going with Cejudo because even though I think he's eating extra Doritos tonight, I think he's going to miss weight, and I think he's going to be fine missing weight because he's going to be the heavier, shorter man. So I'm going to go with Henry Cejudo because Marco's right. He's only lost to the big, Right, he was destroyed by Mighty Mouse, right?
His last fight with Benavidez was by decision, and it was a close decision. So,
yeah, you can argue.
Yeah,
that
I
won the fight. You can make the argument Cejudo won it. So,
I agree. I think he
you
won.
You know,
it, so
I have
I'm,
a picture
I'm with
of
all...
him. You know what? Actually, I felt taller and bigger than him, but he was taller than me, of course. But I met him, and I have a picture of him when he had just come in from the weigh-ins. So he was all sweaty and gross. But I told you, he does have a big head, though. He's like a Pez dispenser, man.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Ooh, man.
He's a... Cavesudo, man. That's a big old head. Like Oprah head.
Excuse me,
Oprah has a big head?
So what
wow,
do you think,
damn. You know what? I'm going with Cejudo, guys. I don't think okay. I think Pettis is still young, guys. I still think he has a lot of growth to do. I don't think we've seen the best of Sergio Pettis. Amazingly enough, he's better than his brother right now, and who would have thought that? But I don't think Pettis has enough to beat Cejudo. And I do think, I agree with Marco, okay. I think Cejudo is going to be the heavier man. So I'm definitely going to go with Cejudo missing weight in his favor. Guys, we move up to the fight that I think everyone may be the most excited about, guys, and the one that I'm the most confused about.
Correct.
We go to the featherweight we go, guys. Frankie, the answer, Edgar, versus Yair, the Pantera, Rodriguez, guys. Frankie Edgar, 35 years young, and he's fought a lot of fights, and 21-5-1, guys. The 5'6 Edgar, 5'6 on a good day. He's 4-1 in his last five, guys, and 6-4 in his last 10. He did have a stretch, of course, where he lost three in a row, but that was to Bendo and, of course, Jose Aldo, one can argue one of the best ever, right?
Yes.
In MMA. He's going up against Yair, the Pantera Rodriguez, guys, 24 years young, 10-1, and of course he wished his mother a happy Mother's Day. Today is Mother's Day in Mexico. What can one say about the incredible Pantera, guys? Incredibly flashy, almost dangerous to his own fault. He's undefeated in the UFC, guys, and only one loss thus far in his MMA career. Pantera, of course, 6-0 in the UFC. We go back to the lovely Pam because I made a mistake. Pam should have gone first, but I went Marco. We go back to the lovely Pam. Pam, will it be the Pantera?
Marco can be
or
lovely
the
Marco. We can do lovely
yes,
Marco
can.
If you want to. You want to do lovely
you,
Marco?
You're up.
Okay.
No, you're up. You it is what? Lovely Marco, but you're up.
Okay. You know, this is fight. I'm still, you know, I was all day. I took my notes to work with me because in between patients, I was, you know, going over my notes, and it just seems like I don't know. You know, I feel bad for Frankie because I think they just keep shitting on him, you know. But with that in mind, you know, Yair Rodriguez. He is a phenom coming up. He's amazing to watch. He's fighting out of Jackson Wink. He's a Taekwondo black belt. Kicks, triangle chokes, crazy stuff. He likes to, he improvises. So it's almost like he doesn't go in there with a plan. He improvises and you don't ever know what he's going to throw at you. And he's crazy. But Frankie Edgar is crazier. Given he is 35, as you would say, a little long in the tooth, he's 5'6 with a 68-inch reach, which we all know those inches do matter. But his last two losses have been against Jose Aldo. You know, his last six wins, he's basically beat all of Team Alpha Male, BJ Penn, Cub Swanson, Oliveira, and Jeremy Stevens. He's got that black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's a high school and college wrestler. So I think that whatever Yair throws out at him, Frankie's going to be prepared for. And I think because Frankie's just a little bit more experienced, I think Frankie's going to get it done. And I have a TKO third round, Frankie Edgar. Like I say, that this guy Yair is crazy, but Frankie's crazier.
Wow, TKO in the third? Good Lord, I'm not sure about that. That was a little lofty on that one. But Proteus is also going. He didn't give us round or method, but he's also going Edgar. So I think you're going the right way. Now we go to the one and only Marco from Waco. Will it be Edgar or will it be Rodriguez?
There is no surprises here. I think for Yair Rodriguez, he's a really good prospect, and I still consider him a prospect, but I'm not buying the hype, man. I mean, he went to a split decision with Bruce Leroy, you know, Alex Caceres. He beat up a freaking Chelo himself, PJ Penn. The only real highlight is the freaking flying switch kick against Andy Feely. So it's too much too soon. Frankie only loses to the very best in the world. He lost twice to Aldo, twice to Benson Henderson, and then he lost one time to Gray Maynard, and Gray Maynard turned out to be the number one contender, you know, on that draw that actually Frankie got, and then he beat him the second time. So he has only lost to the very best. I don't know where is the logic behind this fight. I guess Jair asked for it. You're swimming on the deep end of the pool, kid. Jair is flashy, athletic. Yeah, I'm going to give him that. And he will eventually become probably the future of the division. But the future is not now. And Frankie Edgar is going to school you. Now, Frankie is not known for being a knockout artist or a TKO artist. He actually worked you up. And if he finishes, because he will either catch you with something late or it's just accumulation of punishment. Usually, Frankie is better on five-round fights. He's a three-rounder, so Frankie doesn't have to save anything on the gas tank. So he's going to be go. And I think that is going to overwhelm Jair Rodriguez. He has never fought anybody nowhere near the quality of Frankie Edgar. And this kid is going to learn a lesson. It's going to be a good lesson. Like I said, he's young. He needs experience like this to find out what fighting the elite really feels like. But it's going to be all Frankie Edgar, 30-27.
You know what, guys? I agree with you guys completely. I don't think that there's a way that even though, of course, Edgar finished Mendez via that freak sort of nose punch or whatever that was, I just don't think that Frankie can finish Jair on the feet. But I don't think he wants to do that. I think Frankie's too smart. I think Jair definitely isn't crazy. But one thing's for sure is I don't think he has much of a game plan. And I think he needs to find a team and stick with it. So I agree with Marco. I agree with Proteus. And I agree with Pam. I think it's going to be Frankie Edgar. But I do think he's going to submit Jair somewhere down in the line. The only way Jair has a chance, as we all know, guys, and not that he's going to empty out his gas tank, but if he catches something, Frankie, with some freak kick or some crazy move. But I think Edgar is too smart, guys. So I'm going with Edgar. And I'm going Edgar in a submission second round over one of my favorite fighters, over Jair Rodriguez. So I'm choosing Edgar via submission second round.
Something is for sure. By the end of the fight, Frankie Edgar's nose is going to be bleeding. But you close that nose and it starts bleeding.
Oh!
You glue the nose of Frankie Edgar and it starts bleeding.
Oh, man. Darn. Poor guy. Son of a gun. Guys, we move up. I'm not going to be the one giving Frankie a nosebleed. That's for darn sure. Guys, we move up. And we go to the heavyweight. Sorry, I'm lost here. We go to the welterweight. We go, guys. And one of the fights, honestly, guys, that I'm more confused with. I'm not sure why they made this. I'm not sure who it favors. So this is going to be a little weird, guys. But we go up to the welterweight. We go, guys. And this is a dangerous fight for everybody. Damian Maia, 39 years young. This is a man, of course, that doesn't need a nickname, guys. 24-6, the incredible BJJ Fight Master. Hold on, that doesn't sound right. BJJ Fight Master? I don't know, Proteus. That sounds wrong, doesn't it? The Jiu-Jitsu Practitioner, how about that? Is one of the best we've ever seen, guys, in the UFC. He's 5-0 in his last five. And get this, 8-2 in his last 10, in a couple of weight classes, no less. In almost 5 years, guys, he's only lost twice. Twice! Incredible. He's going up against one of the junkie favorites, and a man that mate fear, of course, Marco, Jorge, game-bred Masvidal. Guess what? Eminem, Maia Masvidal, huh? 33 years young. So, gosh, he's not really young either, guys. 33-11. The junkie favorite, guys, is a former street fighter, and some might say a guy kind of a Kimbo Slice disciple, maybe? Masvidal, guys, really only loses via decision, and somehow I don't believe this fight's going to go all three rounds. So we go to the beautiful
Marco.
We go to the beautiful Marco. Marco, the beautiful Marco. Will it be Masvidal or will it be Maya?
I'm so beautiful. That's what I am. Oh, man, this fight, dude. I've been flipping the coin on this one, but, dude, last time I pick up again Masvidal, he proved me so wrong. And, yeah, I respect Maya. I think his jiu-jitsu is second to none. But I have noticed that whenever he has lost, he has gone to a lot of decisions, grant you, but when he has lost, if you can negate the takedown, he gets tired later in the rounds. Masvidal is a pressure fighter, and believe it or not, he got really good wrestling. Like, it's underrated because you don't get to see it too much, but he's really difficult to take down. Mayu's going to be the bigger guy. He used to fight at 185. You know, Masvidal famously went from 155 to 170. But we have seen this trend that the lighter guys that have moved up have the speed advantage and the stamina advantage. And I think that is going to be the key. Even though Maya has, you know, showed up, he's striking a little bit, he doesn't use it as much anymore. And Masvidal is a way superior boxer. I don't think he's going to be able to take Masvidal down and keep him down because he's wiry, you know, he's a scrimmage. He's going to make it really difficult for Maya to keep him down, and then it's going to tire Maya out, eventually letting Masvidal unload on Demian Maya. And I think it's going to be a TKO, and I think it's going to be a TKO late in the second by accumulation of punches. Wow. He's going to finally corral Maya against the cage and unleash a barrage like he did against Donald Cerrone. And then we're going to have a new number one contender, Jorge Masvidal, and Demian Maya is going to have to eat green pastures and never realize his title shots at 170 and probably do the dirty work for the people in the USC. I'm picking Jorge Masvidal, second round TKO.
Darn, that's a damn good breakdown. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, before we go to you, Proteus is taking Maya. So he actually is going against what Marco says. And to be honest with you, Marco, I may have ruined that one. Marco may have swayed me. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, are you going with the beautiful Marco or are you going with Prados on this one?
Well, I have to say I'm going with the beautiful Marco only because I told Jorge Masvidal that he was going to be my pick tonight. But, you know, I was like Marco, back and forth. And I told you I took my notes to work with me and, you know, back and forth in between patients, and, you know, looking up, you know, fight stats and stuff like that. Maya, I mean, you can't, there's, you know, he's the jiu-jitsu wizard. He's like the wizard of jiu-jitsu, you know, black belt, World Cup champion, Pan-American champ, state champ, Brazilian team champ. So, I mean, you can go on and on. You could list his accolades and read him for about 15 minutes. He does have those six straight wins. His losses have been to Rory Mack and Jake Shields, which, you know, Rory Mack and Jake Shields are no scrubs. He reminds me of one of those wolf spiders that are, you know, those spiders that are like real, really quiet, and they dig this little hole in the ground and they set this trap for you, and then you walk by and they grab you and they take you in their hole and they kill you and they eat you. That's what Damian Maya reminds me of, because he's so quiet, and then when he strikes to get you on the ground, that's it, you are done. He's like an anaconda. But given that, you have Masvidal. He's like a cat. I mean, he has those cat-like reflexes. He's always moving. He's got that speed. He's got those reflexes. He has his boxing. He's got that cardio. You know, like I said, eight of his, he has 11 losses, but 8 of those have been by decision. He's had one TKO in 2008. You know, he's got 13 TKOs, 2 submission wins, 17 wins are by decision. And I actually, I picked him second round TKO.
Wow. Okay, so Pam going with Masvidal, Proteus going with Maya, Marco going with a TKO finish, Masvidal. You know what, guys? I just don't see it. As much as I like Gamebred and as much as I like him as a junkie favorite, Maya is like what Pam was saying, kind of a, you know, and Proteus says it all the time, that he'll be wearing a Maya backpack all night long. Here's the thing. Masvidal reminds me a lot of Carlos Condit in style of fighting. Sure, Condit's a little bit more of a kicker than Masvidal, and a lot taller and lankier. But I think they're very similar in that. And if you look at Maya, I don't think he's ever going to get his shot, guys. I just don't think he's ever going to get his title shot.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen. But look at who he's finished, guys. Matt Brown, Gunnar Nelson, Condit, even Magny. None of these guys, maybe Magny. I don't think I don't think Masvidal is at that caliber. Or maybe, you know, maybe Carlos Condit did have one foot out the door. As much as I like Masvidal, I just can't pick against Maya on the run that he's on right now, guys. So I'm picking a submission, and I'm picking a submission in the second round. Via Maya. So that's what I'm going with, guys. It's going to be, as Proteus says, a Maya backpack.
Well, you know what? I think it seems to me, it seems that like almost like these last three fights that we just picked, it almost seems like they were kind of set up for failure, to set these guys up for failure.
Yep.
And realistically, I would love if Masvidal wins, but I'm not going to be disappointed if Maya wins. The same thing with the Edgar Yair fight. I want Frankie to win, but I'm not going to be disappointed if Yair wins. You know, so it was such a hard. It was hard to call these fights.
Yeah, you can say that about just about anyone, right? With, you know, Dos Anjos, JDS, Miocic, definitely Masvidal, Maya, the answer in Pantera. You can say that about a lot of them. All right, guys, let's move up because we're, as always, running out of time. But, guys, this card, I was talking to Marco about this. Man, this is probably the best card since 05, 205, and not bad. JJ! Joanna champion, guys, going up against Jessica, don't call her Andrade, Andrade. Guys, this is one of those fights that I don't see much of a competition. Jessica Andrade, 25 years young, guys, 16-5. The 5'2 fighter is 4-1 in her last five, and this tiny fighter has fought in 2 weight classes. People forget that she fought at the Batman weight. Gosh, at 5'2, that's incredible, right? Her recent losses to Rocky Pennington and, of course, friends of the show, Marion Renault. But she's been incredible as of late, guys, 4-1. She will fight Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And Joanna is the unlucky undefeated. 13 wins. Get it? 13? Nothing? Okay, guys. We move on. There go the crickets once again. What can one say about Joanna champion, guys? She's a badass undefeated, incredible hand speed, just probably one of the best champions we've seen in quite some time. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be Jessica Andrade or JJ, Joanna champion?
And new. I'm going with my girl Jessica. Yeah, you know what? I like her a lot. Joanna, she's an amazing fighter, an undefeated 94% striker. She's a Muay Thai and a boxer. Last three wins have come by decision, 5-round decisions, though. She's got conditioning, she's got speed, she's got takedown defense. Okay, so you're going up against Jessica Andrade, who is coming down a weight class, and this drop in weight class has made her quicker and stronger. This girl has conditioning, she's got speed, she has strength. This woman, this little tiny woman, picks girls up and just slams them down to the ground. And, you know, they have trained together before. So Jessica knows how Joanna works. Given that, she's got great kicks. She's got great ground and pound. And she is unstoppable. And she will keep coming forward. And I don't think Joanna is going to be used to that. I have my girl Jessica winning in a third round submission.
Wow, I'm sorry. I have to play this. No possible way, Patty. But we go to the one and only. All right, so Proteus actually going against you. He's picking Joanna champion.
Right.
We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, will it be the lovely Pam picking any Brazilian fighter, or will it be Joanna?
I'm still. Oh, man. I'm going to counter what Pam said. I mean, she got good points, but because Joanna and Jessica have sparred together before, it's the same way. Joanna already has a look on her. She already knows what to expect. Now, oddly enough, on the whole card, of all the fighters we got on this card, all 28 fighters on this card, freaking Joanna Champion is the best freaking striker on paper, man.
Yeah.
She's probably the best striker on the USC right now, regardless of gender and weight class. Well, we have seen Joanna face a similar fighter. I mean, Claudia Gadelha is, for me, the better version of Jessica Andrade.
Yep.
Yeah, Jessica Andrade, he was a little bit undersized for bantamweight. He found a home for herself as a strawweight. But when she fought Angela Hill, I wasn't that impressed. I mean, she did a good performance, don't get me wrong. But Angela Hill was able to hang with her, and Angela Hill did a good shot of herself. And Angela Hill is nowhere near the level of a striker Joanna Jędrzejczyk, I guess. If Jessica Andrade was able to be tossed by Angela Hill, I cannot even imagine what Joanna Jędrzejczyk is going to do to Andrade. And this is a five-round fight. Jessica Andrade has never been on a five-round fight. Joanna Jędrzejczyk has. We saw what happened with Claudia Gadelha. By the third round, her gas tank was gone. And then Joanna went to work. The striking of Jessica is a little bit too wild and too loose. Reminds me a little bit of old school Vanderlei Silva, you know, with those open hooks. And if you strike like that against a straightforward striker like Joanna, you're going to get pissed up. And if you go on the cliffs with Joanna, get ready to get an elbow hamburger and a freaking knees from hell. The best chance for Jessica Andrade to win this fight is the first two rounds. If she doesn't get it done, her gas tank is going to get depleted. The accumulation of punishment is going to deplete her gas tank. And by the end of the day, Joanna Jędrzejczyk is going to pull his pole and chase some massacre freaking repertoire and piece it up and make her really ugly. So I'm going to pick out Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I'm going to give Jessica the respect of her toughness. And she's going to go all five rounds. But she's going to lose 49-46 on all the judges' scorecards.
I have to agree, Pam, with Marco. I mean, if you look at it and look at who she's fought, she did beat Angela Hill, Joanne Calderwood, who's, you never know if she's in the game or not. Jessica Penne, unfortunately, man, we've already seen the best of Jessica Penne. Rocky Pennington. Raquel, I don't know. Sometimes she's on, sometimes she's off. I think she's still on the roster because she's definitely it's one of Dana's favorites, but I just don't see it, guys. I don't see I'll put it to you this way. The only thing that defeats Joanna is either that if she's too happy or if she keeps getting broken hands. I mean, yeah, she's all tanned in AT&T, America's top team. She's clearly living a different life now, so maybe that gets to her, guys. But look who she's fought. Carolina Kovalkiewicz, Claudia Gadelha, Valerie Letourneau, who really has fought in both classes, right? Jessica Penne, she destroyed Esparza. Guys, JJ is, again, only if she breaks her hands, and even then she's still able to come up with something. I just don't see how the smaller fighter with less reach, I don't see how she, oh, the bird's back. Let's press mute on the bird, shall we?
Okay.
Yeah. I just don't see how it's possible. I don't see a clear path, so I'm going with Marco. All five rounds, I'm going with JJ, because I don't think JJ can finish Andrade either, but I think she's going to punish her, and I think it's going to be similar to Canelo versus Chavez. I think Andrade is going to piece her
up. No,
out.
You
sorry.
Didn't. That JJ's fight gonna, was basura.
I said,
that fight
I think JJ is going to piece up Andrade, guys. That's what I think. So I think the only chance is clearly if Andrade submits JJ. But JJ is strong, good takedown defense. I just don't see it, guys. So I'm going with Joanna Champion. And still, guys, let's move up. We go up to the big boys. We go, guys. And it's amazing when you start hearing how much weight these fighters have to cut sometimes. It's incredible. Guys, we go up to a fight, and this is one of those fights like Pam was saying. I don't want any of these guys to lose, guys. I like both of these guys. JDS Jr. Dos Santos, 33 years young, 18-4. And damn, a good family, man. I love JDS. He's 3-2 in his last five, guys, but here's a telltale sign for me. 3-3 in his last six, guys. Three tough matches with Kane. He's lost two. And, of course, a TKO loss to Overeem. Alistair Overeem. He's going up against, as Gigi likes to say, Dyke Music. Stipe Miocic, 34 years young, and yeah, he's corny, but I like him. 16-2, guys. The champion is 4-1 in his last five. His last loss, of course, to JDS, going five rounds, and some could say, just like Marco said, then maybe Miocic may have won that one. I think JDS won it, but who knows? And of course, Miocic has only lost twice in his career. We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, this is it. Will it be JDS or Miocic?
O-H-I-O. Dude, I kind of struggle too much with this fight. I'm, first of all, glad that boxing got the little Klitschko-Joshua super bout, but the real baddest man of the planet gets decided tomorrow. Because if Joshua and Klitschko get in the cage with either JDS or with Stipe Miocic, they'll get murked. But that's notwithstanding, I seen Stipe is on a stride right now. That fight with Dos Santos in 2014, it went on the scorecards to Jorge Dos Santos, but at the end of the fight, if you saw the two men next to each other and you asked anybody that didn't know the result, who you seen won the fight, you say Stipe, because JDS looked like the elephant man. That was the first time, actually the only time that Stipe went all five rounds with anybody, but he went the distance with Junior Dos Santos. And ever since then, he's been knocking everybody out. Merck Marfan, Merck Anderlowski, Merck Fabricio Verdun, Merck Alistair Overeem, and the guy's getting better and better and better and more confident. On the other hand, I was there in Houston when Cain Velasquez put the last ass whipping on freaking Jorge Dos Santos. I saw it live.
Ouch.
I saw that ass whipping. Yeah, it was ugly. And then the very next fight, he fights Stipe Miocic on a fight that a lot of people saw he lost, and his face looks like he was the Elephant Man. And after that,
ooh,
he fought twice. He fought one fight against Alistair Overeem where he gets knocked the hell out, and then a very good fight against Ben Rothwell, with a tailor-made fighter that was very static, with no movement, you know, that is not a dynamic striker like Junior is. So, of course, you're going to look good against Ben Rothwell. Nothing against Ben. You know, he's a quality heavyweight. He's a top 10 heavyweight fighter, but I don't think he's a contender. So it's easy to look good against Ben Rothwell when the guy is walking like a robot. All that said, man, Stipe, and I think this is not going to go the distance. Stipe has been putting it all together. He has been able to find people's chin. We know Junior Dos Santos can get hit because, you know, he hit him. And he hit him a lot on the first fight. The guy that has gone through more punishment by far is Junior Dos Santos. And we saw him get clipped once by Alistair Overeem, and he went down like a freaking tree trunk. Alistair clipped Stipe, and Stipe bounced right back at. So, Yeah, he lost that one fight against Stefan Struve a long time ago, a fight that he was actually winning, and he got caught. You know, it was one of those left hooks out of nowhere that, you know, put him down. And it is what it is, you know. Stefan Struve got really, really lucky that night. He was losing the fight, and then Stipe walked into a freaking left hook. But Stipe, I think, got the better chin. They got both really good cardio, so I'm not going to treat that as a toss-up. But the momentum and the amount of punishment that Junior Dos Santos has suffered all talk against him. So I'm going to take Stipe Miocic. I'm going to take it by TKO on the third round. And still, the baddest man in the world and UFC heavyweight champion, Stipe Miocic.
Well, I'm the best.
I agree with Marco. And, you know, unfortunately, so does Pro, Pam. So, Marco, going with Miocic, did you pick a method and round, Marco?
Third round TKO.
Okay. And Proteus going with Miocic as well. He didn't give us a method or a round. But we go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be JDS or, as my wife likes to say, Young Frankenstein? Look up that movie. Peter Boyle? Look that up.
Mel Brooks classic.
Thank you.
You know
will
what?
It be?
I don't know.
Go ahead, Pammy.
This is one of those, this fight too, back and forth. Oh my gosh. You know, these 133, 134, they're both 6'4". Miocic has that 80-inch reach. Dos Santos is 77-inch reach. Each of them, 13 of the last 16 wins have been, they've won 13 of their last 16 fights, I'm sorry. The only thing that I am questioning is we're talking about Overeem. Dos Santos lost to Overeem in 2015, and I was actually there at that fight. And that was...
You're going to be at this fight too, Tammy?
Yes, I know. So that was like special use Overeem. Thank you, almost. And then you have Miocic beating Overeem post special juice. So you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. They're both boxing, KO power, both of them, they're virtually identical. Part of the things that we had talked about at those times that we say, you know, when fighters get too happy, Junior Dos Santos just had a baby and he's loving life and, you know, Stipe he just got married, so he's loving life, he's happy, but man, those babies, they suck the energy out of you, so I'm going to go with Stipe, and I'm not going to go TKO. I'm not going to go third round. I do want it to go all five. I'm going to be greedy and go for a five round unanimous decision by Stipe.
Yeah,
wow, five rounds for the big boy.
Stipe is still a firefighter, man. So it's not like he's trying to make himself comfortable. So, yeah, that's a good point, too.
I just think he just has the speed advantage. I just think, and the confidence. I don't know. It just, that one was a hard one to do. Let's not do this anymore. Let's find people that we don't like.
I agree. I like both of these guys. Right, Dana?
Thank you, dummies.
You know what? I agree with you guys. I mean, this is going to be boring because I agree with you guys all across the board. I think it's going to be Francis Ngannou again.
Stupid!
Defending his... Oh, I busted out. That's right. Francis Ngannou, guys. I said it.
Stupid!
That's right. It's obviously going to be Miocic. I'm picking Miocic. I think they're both happy. Miocic, obviously, somebody was making fun of him, I guess, of being corny, et cetera. I actually like the guy. And
he
definitely love JDS.
Sweet, though.
I like the guy.
You know what? This one,
like JDS, too.
Yeah, I do, too. But this is one of those that I don't. Regardless of who wins, I will be happy. Regardless of who wins, because each of them are deserving. Do you know what I'm saying?
Have you seen the Tommy Toho character of Stipe Miocic, the Stone Cold Stipe?
No.
You have to check it out. Just put Tommy Toho, Stone Cold Stipe. Stipe Miocic, the Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's hilarious.
Wow. Yeah, but I'm obviously going. I mean, to not delay it, guys. And Marco's right, Pam's right, and Pro's right. I'm going with Stipe, and I'm going with Stipe. Unfortunately, a TKO or a KO of some kind over JDS, and I hope JDS stops fighting soon because he took some major battles with Kane. So I like both of these guys. I don't want anyone to lose, but unfortunately, someone will lose when Francis Ngannou meets Stipe. And that's coming, and it's coming quick. So, yeah, I'm choosing Miocic, and he will fight Ngannou, and Ngannou will be champion for a couple years. That's for damn sure. All right, guys, let's go to the spotlight fight of the night, guys, because we made it through an hour, and this is incredible. We're right on time, Proteus.
Yay.
How do you like that? Yeah, how about that? Guys, but we were talking about this card being, like Marco said, perhaps the best card since 205, and I think this one rivals it. We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, what is your spotlight fight of the night?
Okay, I am really, really, really high on Hick Diaz, Jason Nye versus Chad Kelly. I am really,
really high.
That's
Jason my fight.
Nye. Well, not too late. I got it. Bye. But I'm really tired on the Jason.
We can't hear you, Marco. We lost you somewhere.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Marco, your volume went down dramatically.
Oh.
We can hear you, but your volume went down dramatically. There you go.
Okay.
You sound great.
Jason Nye, as I said, is my spotlight fighter of the night. I am really tired on this kid. I think he's a star in the making. They call him Hick Diaz for a reason. The guy speak out his mind, and he fight with an attitude. He fight with a chip on his shoulder. So watch out. Watch the fight, man. That fight's going to be entertaining, and it's going to set the right tone for the next six fights, starting, you know, with Eddie Alvarez all the way up.
All right. That's actually a damn good fight, Marco. And the one thing about Proteus actually gave us his spotlight fight, and we kind of let him sort of get away with this one, but a spotlight fight of the night, of course, is supposed to be a fight that's not on the main card, but we love Prados. He chose Edgar versus Yair, but as a spotlight fight, but I'm not going to let him get away with that one. I am going to go with this. I'm going to give, only because he chose this fight as a fight to watch, I'm going to go with, for Proteus, I'm going to go with James Vick versus Marco Polo Reyes as his spotlight fight of the night. Since he did choose Edgar Yair, we go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, what is your spotlight fight of the night since Marco already took it?
Well, my spotlight fight was going to be the Knight-Skelly fight, so I guess I'll go with somebody else. And I am going with the early prelim, Sherman versus Rashad Coulter from Newton, North Carolina, and I'm actually going to be able to meet him. So that's my spotlight fight.
Wow.
Look at Don is sticking up for you, North Carolina.
I know.
You know what? I opened it right up for you, and you didn't take it. I thought for sure I chose the Vic Polo Reyes for Prados because I thought for sure you were going to go with David Branch, who's making his comeback to the UFC after dominating the World Series of Fighting in his boring ways. But, gosh. I gave you that one on a silver platter, and she didn't take it, Marco. She didn't take it, but my spotlight fight of the night then will be Christoph Yatkov versus David Branch, and I'm actually going to go with Branch on this one. I think it's going to be going all the way via decision, but I'm picking, the UFC certainly doesn't give any favors to the guys that are coming to the UFC. That's for damn sure. So, yeah, that's my spotlight fight of the night. Why should they? I don't know. Well, let's talk about it, guys, because we have a little bit of time. So we have about 10 minutes to kill. So So let's talk about this, guys, because we were. It's actually funny that we ended up this way, but let's go into it, guys, because we were talking about people getting easier fights, right? And some people not getting. We were talking about money fights. We were talking about all these. We're not going to get into the show that because Proteus actually just did the show on money fights. But let's talk about this, guys, because it's interesting. Bellator, even though we're not going to talk Bellator, but Bellator giving easier fights to some of these guys that are going to them. And then we see on the other side, the UFC giving really tough fights with possibly Justin Gaethje, right, versus Michael Johnson.
Oh,
we're seeing David Brandt. We go to you, Pam. What say you about this dilemma, I guess? The UFC not doing favors to any of their free agents.
Well, you know what I think it is I think they're kind of trying to, I think it's a little bit of a pissing contest is what I think, and like who can puff their chest up more, and you know, it's you know what I think it is people think that people come in from Bellator are rejects, and they're not. You've got some serious legit fighters coming from Bellator, and I think to give them a hard fight is kind of it's kind of like a test, I think. And but you know what? I don't know. You know, if these guys are good enough, then it shouldn't be a hard fight, right?
Amen. You know,
Marco?
This is the way it goes, man. You're coming from another promotion claiming to be one of the best in the world. According to a report, Justin Gaethje did not get a pay cut on his new UFC contract. So he's getting paid a pretty good amount of money to fight on the USA. You know, the World Series of Fighting, for whatever their fouls, you know, professional fighting, whatever the hell they're called now, they were paying Justin Gaethje a good amount of money, you know, like six figures. So you're not going to put Justin Gaethje, you know, to fight a freaking scrub. You're paying him that good amount of money. On the other hand, let's say that he beat a guy like Michael Johnson, he gets propelled immediately into the top five, top 10 in the UFC. So it's a win-win for everybody involved. And if the guy cannot cut it, you know, with a top five, then all your freaking wins on the other promotion were smoke and mirrors. You know what I'm saying? So it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You wanna come as a free agent, you think you belong to the deep end of the freaking pool, we're going to throw you to the deep end of the pool. And if you can swim, you're welcome. If no, go to the shallow end and you know, build your way back up. So I don't get mad about this.
Damn!
They want to come into the USC. They claim they are quote-unquote world champions with their belts. They claim they're some of the best in the world. Then you're going to fight some of the best in the world. Like, you know, Eddie Alvarez came from Bellator and he got Donald Cerrone right out of the bat. And that was the right fight. He eventually became a world champion, but that was the right thing to do, you know? I'm not complaining. It is the right thing too. If you claim to be the best, you're going to have to fight the best and prove it.
Well, and it could go the other way around. Look at Rory McDonald leaving UFC to go to Bellator, and who's he fighting? He's fighting Paul Daly, you know?
Paul Daly is overrated.
That's going to be
overrated fighters. Just cash it, lay a prayer on him, and make him look like a punk. Just cash it, beat him. Paul Daly is an overrated fighter. He got a puncher chance at best. Paul Daly's going to get schooled by Rory McDonald. Schooled by Rory McDonald. And then let's not talk about Bellator. We can say that for
okay.
June.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Next subject.
Let's talk about this, though, because I know Marco had something to say about, and we're not going to go into the same discussions that we always go into about fighters now speaking up. But to be honest with you, fighters are now being insubordinate. So we were talking about, Marco and I were talking a little bit about Ally Quinton. That's one thing. I mean, whether or not they release him or not, who the hell knows whether they have the balls to do it or not. I don't think Al either way is going to be a star either way, no matter where he goes. But now you're finding one of the legends of all time, Marco, Anderson Silva, who I still think has one foot out the door, saying that he wants to, you know, if he doesn't get the interim belt, wants to retire. What say you guys?
Please give me an interim title short or I'll retire. I'll take my ball and go home. He wasn't waiting up complaining when he was going to fight Kelvin Gastelum. Then, you know, Kelvin smoked the river, and it is what it is. All of a sudden, he wants to, and I got to give credit where credit is due. It makes sense for Anderson Silva for us for an interim title fight, because if he wins, he's automatically locked to fight either George St. Pierre or Michael Bisping on a rematch. So business-wise, makes sense. It also makes sense for Anderson Silva because if he's involved in a title fight, he gets pay-per-view points. So, yeah, in the business sense, it makes sense. But for the division, it is a clusterfuck. He has not really had a fight with Joel Romero, Joel Romero being the quote-unquote number one contender. He's a cheater, but whatever. Fuck Joel. And everybody's whining and complaining about money, this and that. Nate Diaz got it right, man. This is about the money. Forget about the veils. Forget about the glitz and glamour. It is about the money. Pay me. I loved the Nate Diaz interview last week. He talked a lot of truth, man. Coming with the right offer, then you can fight. Anderson Silva had the wrong approach, you know, tried to take his ball and go home. What Dana White said, if you want to retire, retire. He called his bluff. I don't say he's retiring, but that's it for another story. And Ala Yacuenta, I like what he's doing, because the more he talks, the more we talk about him. The more we talk about him, the more he drives his price up. Eventually, the powers that be is going to have to recognize, okay, this guy has a high enough profile to either put him in a fight that, you know, if he wins, we can make him a star, but if he loses, we can have an excuse to release him, and then Bellator will pick him up anyway. So, yeah, I went all over the place with this thing, but if you're complaining, complain the right way. If you want to fight, pick a fight, and then pick the right amount of money. Don't try to freaking force the hand of people when you don't got the labor that you think you got.
Pam?
Hello?
Yeah.
Pam?
I watched the Nate interview. And, you know, people write him off as being like this dumb stoner, but this dude, he's crazy like a fox. I mean, he's smart. And just some of this, he's just not articulate when he speaks. But he is, what he said about, why are these guys complaining now? Why weren't they complaining when they were belt holders and had some power? So now you got all these people that don't have a belt. You've got Anderson Silva complaining. Jose Aldo was complaining. Luke Rockhold is complaining now. So you have all these people that were champions at one time and didn't speak out, and now they're speaking out. You know, so you can't have it both ways.
You know who's not complaining? Sorry, Paz. You know who's not complaining? Michael Bisping. Because if anybody will be, like if Luke Rockhold, Giga Musasi, Anderson Silva, if any of those guys were on Michael Bisping's shoes right now, getting ready to fight George St. Pierre for the biggest payday of their life, they will not be complaining either, because they're hypocrites, man.
That's true.
They're the only reason they're complaining is because they're not on Michael Bisping's shoes. Michael Bisping is fixing to make the biggest payday of his life. And if Luke Rojo was on Michael Bisping's shoes, he wouldn't be saying shit. He would be like praising George St. Pierre and try to get this fight, you know, right now. Michael Bisping is...
Okay,
well, how'd you hear Michael Bisping podcast? He's talking about, oh, it is actually good that George St. Pierre wants to fight in October now, because all of a sudden my knee hasn't healed properly, so it needs more time to heal, so I'll be 100% for that fight.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
So what happens in that from now till October? And for real, this talk about interim belts, if I hear one more person wanting one of those damn interim belts, I mean, you can go and get them in a fucking gumball machine now. They're so plentiful, you know? And it means nothing. It's like, just give everybody a belt.
What's funny is...
Credit where credit is
due. Right, Marco.
The UFC shut down the interim belt idea right away. So let's get credit where credit is due.
Well, let's talk about this for a second, though, guys, because two more subjects and then we'll get out of here because we're on time, so okay. I want to keep it that way. But one thing for sure, guys, is I actually spoke about this on Junkie about maybe a year ago, maybe longer, about having, you know, some sort of like either TV title or some sort of, you know, Intercontinental or U.S. title, some of that wrestling crap. But if you hear Diaz talk and even Masvidal, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing this whole, you know, bunch of garbage in terms of titles and everyone's walking around with the title. Why not have a specific title like a Fox belt or something like that, just so that someone can say they're a champ and not have to have an interim title for one of the great, you know, for a real belt?
Okay, here I go again. The only division that you're having issues with is the ones that Conor McGregor was dipping his toe into, featherweight, because you got the interim and the interim of the interim fighting in June, Aldo. and then, of course, you got a lightweight because McGregor is doing this Mayweather crap that they're talking about an interim. Middleweight does not need an interim champion because the champion is active fighting. He's going to fight in October with George St. Pierre. And whether they like it or not, that fight is going to happen. Michael Bisping is fixing to make a shitload of money. And probably Michael Bisping is going to beat George St. Pierre because I'm picking right now Michael Bisping to beat George St. Pierre. But I'm going to say that when the fight comes up. Every other division in the UFC got the rightful champion. Jan Jędrzejczyk, Amanda Nunes, Demetrius, Garbrandt, they go to welterweight. Tyron Gooley is a rifle champion, whether we recognize it or not. Freaking Michael Bisping, middleweight. I hate to admit it, but right now, Daniel Cormier is a belt holder for the light heavyweight division. He is the champion, whether you want to recognize it or not, and then Stipe. So it's not really that this is an imaginary title. It's we went to a little stress there that they were creating titles for nothing. Oh, I forgot, Jermaine de Randam is supposed to be a champion, but the division doesn't really exist. That kind of sort of debunked my whole argument. But you know what I'm saying. You know, like the majority of the champions are rightful champions, and the only issue has been on those two divisions where McGregor dipped his toe into, and now he's doing his own shit.
Tammy?
Well, I think, you know, when you do that, then you start creating all these ridiculous title belts because you're going to have the you're going to have the best hair belt, which is going to go to Elias, and then you're going to have the best shit talker belt, which is going to go to Nate, and then you're going to have the best Hawaiian fighter. But you know, it's going to segregate everything, and then everybody's going to have a freaking belt, and then why even fight for a belt or fight for a title if everybody's going to have a title. You know, it's just kind of silly.
All right, let's talk about this.
It's one more title coming up. The 125 division coming to you live in top 26.
But has that been set in stone yet? Because I'm reading conflicting reports.
Yesterday, it was official. Yeah, it came out with an official report from the USC. They made an official top 26. It's gonna be the freaking the flyweights, and it's gonna be all female, and they're gonna crown a champion right at the end of it. So yeah, it's official.
I'm not mad at that. I actually like that, guys. Let's talk about the one thing though. What we're seeing is, and Vitor Belfort actually brought this up, but what we're seeing is former UFC fighters, retired UFC fighters, former fighters that were actually getting a nice little paycheck for maybe not doing a lot, Matt Hughes and Chuck Liddell, now have this renewed interest, maybe because they're running out of money, who the heck knows, right? But this renewed interest in making comebacks. I don't want to see that, but what say you guys? I mean, do you want to see Matt Hughes and Chuck Liddell come back?
No.
You know who's not making a comeback? Forrest Griffin. You know why? Because when they gave him that freaking cushy job, he had to make himself indispensable for the company, and he started
That's
actually
true.
Working. So, yeah, mm-hmm. so Maybe Mike Hughes and Trout should have done that. But
didn't he start this? Not an organization, but he started doing this thing where he was kind of taking like the young and up and coming UFC fighters and teaching them how to be smart with their money, so when they got out, they would have a little nest egg and not be, after they were fighting, not knowing how they were going to make a living. And it's like little seminars that he does like that to help them. So if he is making it, then why aren't these guys? Now, Chuck Liddell is making those, what is it, the Valvoline commercials for the AutoZone or something?
Yeah. See, by all reports, Chuck doesn't really need money. The guy got money. But I guess he wants to compete again, or who knows, you know? 47 years old, and he sees all these people getting these big paydays. I guess he wants to get one of those big paydays, too. Forrest got like 10 different jobs from the UFC. He's part of the freaking the performance center, so the freaking new campus. He runs that. He runs the talent relationships department. So yeah, he got his toe in so many freaking pools. They can't get rid of the guy. And Mike Hughes, I don't know, man. He claims now that he didn't really want to retire when he retired. And he also seen all these people going to Bellator and getting these big paydays. So who knows? Maybe they need the money. Maybe not. Like, you're right. Chuck Liddell does have those AutoZone commercials, and those pay pretty good. So who knows what the reality is, man? But I don't want to see it either, you know?
Yeah.
When you retire, the key word there is retire. Your time is past, man. It gets sad if we see you getting knocked out again. I mean, shit. Big Japan knockout back use. And we're talking about, that was like the only win BJ Penn has in the last freaking half decade. So that tells you a lot. No, I don't want to see it, man. I don't want to see these guys come back.
So let me ask a question, since we're talking about retiring, and Vitor Belfort is retiring, what, in 2013? Is it 2013? Supposed to be retiring.
Yeah,
2012. Okay.
Allegedly.
You know, allegedly. But in my opinion, I think he should have retired like two fights ago. So, I mean, well, when is it, or who should be the one that decides, you know what, you've had enough? Is it the fighter, or is it the organization that should say, you know what, you know, we're looking out for your own welfare because we feel this way, this is going to be your last fight? Or is it the fighter that decides, you know what, I can't anymore? You know, who should decide when it's time for you to retire, especially from the fight game? If you're in a regular 9-to-5 job, that's different. But if you're in this fight game where it's physical and you could actually do bodily harm to yourself, and you are not, you know, because of ego or whatever, you don't want to retire, should they make you retire?
Good. Ken Shamrock was 50 years old when he fought freaking Kimbo Slice.
Yeah.
Dan Severn was 52 on his very last fight. Shane Mosley, you know, 50 years old before he got thrown within the ropes. You cannot never tell a fighter when to retire. They had to hit rock bottom before they finally realize it's over. Who knows, man? Some people do it right. Very few do. Very, very few retired like freaking John Elway did, you know, or like Peyton Manning did, winning a Super Bowl and walking into the sunset. That Cinderella story happened very rare, especially in fighting. In fighting, usually it's really ugly, and people don't want to.
Who was that one fighter? And I think it was pretty recently. I think within a year that he fought, and his dream was to fight in the UFC. He won his fight, and then he retired. He was a young guy. Do you remember who that was?
Yeah, he's fighting again.
Shut up!
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's part of Mark Henry's, you know, Frankie Edgar's team. And, yeah, he's fighting again.
Shut up. Are you for real?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Jeez.
The name is Kevin. I can picture. He's a young guy. He
won. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He won. He looks really, really good. And then he said he retired. Well, guess what? He's fighting again.
Oh, brother.
All right, guys.
Well,
let's get out of here. let's get out of here, guys. But before we go, I do want to do a really, really quick segment of Get to Know Your Host. So, and we'll make this quick as we're playing the outro song. But, Pammy, I submit to both of you guys, what was your worst car that you've ever owned? Like Gigi and his Nissan. Pammy, what's the worst car you've ever owned?
I would say, okay, the worst car, that it was like my worst car and my first car and my favorite car. It was my favorite car, but it was my worst car. It was a Triumph, a 1976 Triumph Spitfire convertible two-seater. And I loved it, but that thing had so many freaking mechanical issues, it wasn't even funny. It cost more to fix than what the car was worth.
Yeah, before
Marco,
it became a
worst car you've ever owned.
Before I became a fan of Jeeps, because I haven't owned nothing but Jeeps since freaking 2004, a 1995 Ford Taurus. It was a lemon that I bought in Germany because my Dodge Intrepid freaking, I blew the engine up. So I bought this Ford Taurus, and this piece of crap lasted 10 months before it died on me.
I've always either been a Camaro Firebird guy or a BMW guy, but the worst car I've ever owned was definitely a Mercury Capri, if you've ever seen that car. Boy, what a piece of crap it was. Good Lord. All right, guys, let's get out of here. Pammy, do you have a Twitter follow of the week?
Follow me. I'm going to Dallas, and I'm going to be posting all kinds of pictures and videos. Follow me at Pandora Box. Two X's.
Yes! I agree with that. Follow Pammy, because she will be, as Proteus likes to say, our woman on the street. So Pammy, of course, attending UFC 211. We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, close us out.
Okay, I'm going to be celebrating my baby boy's 7-year birthday this weekend. So,
happy birthday.
That's what I'm going to. Yeah, that's not going to Dallas. That is okay. Just to piss off Proteus, follow the big brown breakdown with Brendan Schaub. follow Mama Pandora Bond. Follow Tony at DJ Tony. Follow my homeboy Proteus at Proteus and listen to the Proteus Prime Time Show tomorrow. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review us on iTunes, motherfuckers, because we need those rates and reviews. Give us 5 stars and say good things about us. We gotta leave you guys. Catch you guys next time.
See you guys later. We'll see you next week. Proteus will probably do a show tomorrow. Hold the line, probably with Showtime on Sunday, of course. This week in MMA, daily when we when I have the time and we have MMA news, the MMA Minute. Proteus, we'll see you soon. I like that. Whoa.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.